This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This Day in Sports History. Hey, and welcome to This Day in Sports History. It's May 2nd, and on this day in 1939, Lou Gehrig removed himself from the lineup, ending his consecutive game streak at 2,130. Gehrig had not missed a game in 15 years, wearing his customary number 4 and starting at first base for the New York Yankees during that time. He was the cleanup hitter in a murderer's row of sluggers. In the 1938 season, Gehrig hit .295 with 29 homers and 114 RBI, but when he reported to spring training prior to the 39 season, he was feeling weak and listless, and he couldn't work himself into his usual form. Here in the early part of the schedule, Gehrig was hitting only .143. So on this day, Gehrig went through the same motions as he had always done, warming up, taking batting practice, and then walking the lineup to home plate as the captain of the Yankees. But his name was not on that day's lineup card. He had told manager Joe McCarthy that for the good of the team, he was removing himself from the lineup. Of course, we know now why he was feeling weak, but at this point, he had no idea of why he felt the way he did. Babe Dahlgren replaced Gehrig and responded with a double, a homer, and 3 RBI in a 22-2 Yankees rout of the Detroit Tigers on this emotional day. Gehrig's Iron Man streak started June 1, 1925, and over that 15-season span, he hit .340 with 493 home runs and 1,976 RBI. It was not until June 19th that Gehrig would go to the doctor with his wife on his 36th birthday to learn of his ALS diagnosis, the disease that would soon bear his name. He died June 2nd, 1941. Also on this day, in 1954, the St. Louis Cardinals' Stan Musial hit 5 home runs in one day, becoming the first to ever do it. The Cardinals were playing a doubleheader against the New York Giants at Sportsman's Park. Musial went 4-for-4 in Game 1 with 3 dingers and 8 RBI. His 8th inning 3-run blast proved to be the game winner in a 10-6 St. Louis win. In Game 2, Musial went 2-for-4. His 2 hits were both homers, a 2-run shot in the 5th, and a solo homer in the 7th, but it wasn't enough for the Cards to pull off the sweep. An 8-run 4th inning for the Giants was too much to overcome, and New York won 9-7 for the split. Musial's feat of 5 homers in a day went unequaled until 1972, when San Diego's Nate Colbert hit 5 in a Padres doubleheader. No player has ever hit 5 in a single game. With this year's Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday, let's go back to some notable Derby moments that happened on this day. In 1964, it was jockey Bill Hartack aboard Northern Dancer that won in then record time. Northern Dancer was the first Canadian-bred horse to win the Derby. The Bay Stallion was the second betting choice on this day, behind Hill Rise. Northern Dancer edged out Hill Rise by a head to win in 2 minutes flat, truly making the Kentucky Derby the fastest 2 minutes in sports. The record stood until 1973, when Secretariat beat it. In 1970, Diane Crump became the first woman to ever ride in the Kentucky Derby. She rode to victory in the first undercard race of the day, and then in the main event, Crump rode a horse named Fathom to a 15th place finish in a 17-horse field. As you can probably imagine, Crump faced a lot of resistance and misogyny in her bid to be a professional jockey. Prior to her debut in the Derby, Diane and other female jockeys were dissuaded at every turn. Male jockeys boycotted races that female riders attempted to enter. They faced harassment in different forms, such as rocks being thrown at their locker room areas, which were makeshift trailers at the tracks. Despite that, Crump continued on in her pursuit, winning a total of 225 races in her career before retiring in 1985. And on this day in 1984, the Dallas Cowboys selected long jumper and sprinter Carl Lewis in the 12th round. The list of Olympic champions playing in the NFL is a long one, and of course drafting or adding speedy sprinters to play running back or wide receiver has been popular, going back to Jim Thorpe, though typically the player selected has played the game at some point in the recent past. Lewis was drafted as a wide receiver but had never played football. He also never played for the Cowboys, but as a 12th rounder, it wasn't a wasted pick. Interestingly, though, Lewis was also selected in that year's NBA draft by the Chicago Bulls in the 10th round. He didn't play for the Bulls either. And time now for today's non-sports Did You Know? It takes about 6.5 gallons of sap to make 1 pint of maple syrup. That's all I've got for you today. Thanks for stopping by. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You gotta go vote now. That's over at sports.historynetwork.com/vote.